Next two mornings in the evening. She's a really fine teacher from Vienna. I have a beautiful studio there. And what impresses me the longer I know her is that she also works very hard to help the elderly and the poor. And she just has all these real things going on to help people. In addition to being a great yoga teacher. So we've been examining the idea of Kunlong Chupa, which means checking in with your mind just before you start anything, to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Okay? And I'd like it in this week. I think it would be nice if we all got in the habit, if we developed a habit. Before we undertake anything, it could be going for a day of work, it could be meeting our spouse or partner, it could be having lunch, it could be going to a movie. But before we undertake anything, we study how to pause and ask ourselves, why am I doing this? What do I want out of this? And again, the exercise here is not to force you into having some good motivation for it. Like, okay, I'm going to eat dinner, and you have to say a prayer, and you have to wait until you feel like Mother Teresa before you can eat, you know, because that would take a long time. And not like that. It's like you just sit down, and before you do something, you think, you know, why am I doing this? How does this take advantage of the extraordinary circumstances I have now in my life? You know, I have a human mind, human body. I have enough food. I live in a country where we are free to practice. My country's at relative peace right now. There's no one going to come in the door and arrest me if I practice. I have a good life. I have a good chance. How is what I'm going to do now, which is what? We're going to have a teaching, right? How is what I'm going to do now going to make use of that life? Because that life is precious and I could lose it at any time. You know, people who live in aging empires always think it's going to last forever. Especially at the end of the empire's time, for some reason, they get even blinder than before. And they truly believe it's going to cruise along like this, with a national debt which in 30 years will surpass the gross national product. Meaning you can't pay it, even if you wanted to pay it, with all the money created in the country. And at that point, China owns your country, legally. And I'm sure they might assert that right. So those are over. I mean, you have to think, even the things you take for granted, your freedom to practice, or for your income, or your car, or your highways, or your food, these can all change, and they probably will change. Okay? Given the current pattern, they probably will change. So use your time. When you think, what would happen if I lost? What would happen to me if I lost this opportunity? You see what I mean? And in an ultimate sense, what would happen to me if the energy which runs my body wore out and I couldn't practice, even if I wanted to practice? And then if I came to the end of my life and my energy finished and I died, then I don't know about you, but for me it feels like driving down one of those big highways and then they didn't finish it. You're up like 50 feet off the ground and then suddenly the highway stops in midair, like they didn't have enough money to finish it. And you're like, what? Hopefully there's a barricade there. You like stop your car and like, and to me, when I think about my death or what would happen to me afterwards, it's like I don't think about it like there's nothing to think about. It's just a big empty space. I don't know what will happen. And I don't know what will become of me. Let's say. And then we have to think about, at that point, a Buddhist who has been trained has to think about, well, there'll be other things. I will have other experiences. I will be thrown into another world. Because you're not thrown into a world. The world is created from your own mind. Mike, the world that you experience now is flowing out of your own mind. And then when you die, a new world will flow out of your mind. And that world will be created by the seeds which were planted in your mind by how you treated other people in this life. If you have provided meals to the poor, you will have food in your new world. You know, if you have served the sick and the elderly, you will have a strong body in your new world. You know, if you have taken care of the needy, you will be born into a wealthy country, a good country. Okay? All of those things like that. If you have taken interest in other people's spiritual practice and their right to have a spiritual practice, then you will have it. You will live in a country where you're allowed to practice. Okay, like that. Whatever you've been up to now is going to create that. And then, so you think about how can I get that to happen? And then, if you review this kind of thinking before you undertake any action in your life, either the actions will change or the quality of the actions will change. See what I mean? You'll do something a little either different or you'll do something which is finer and more beautiful within the same actions you've been doing. Get it? But you might continue going to IBM or wherever you work, but the quality of the experience will change. You see, you'll be more compassionate, you'll be kinder, you will imbue the work with more meaning. if you run through this little exercise before you go to work. Okay? That's the idea. It's probably not going to be that you radically change your work or your family or your life. That's not the point. The point is you will change how you think about it and the level of kindness and wisdom with which you have to take that on. Okay? So that's where we are. He's been running through a quick mental exercise that you can do before you undertake any new activity. And the activity in this context is that 700 monks and other people have come from all over Tibet to hear him teach this teaching. And he's asking them before they start the teaching, can you think of why you're here? Can you review in your own mind why you came here? And examine why you came here. And here's the way you can review that. Okay? So we're up to a point where he said, how do you say it? We don't know if at this time next year we will be dressed in our fine lama's robes or the fur of some animal. Okay? We don't know. He said, or you might be in, there are realms of great terror where you can go after you die, which don't exist anywhere. They are just projected by your mind in the way that you are projecting this teaching right now. Okay? Just different seeds coming up to the top. And we have all kinds of seeds. We have seeds to see a paradise, and we have seeds to see a hell. And it just depends on which ones float up to the top at the moment that you die. Dunyaki, Yama Yama Mila. Chiwi Jesu Rigpa Gyenche Tumin Drowe. This is very powerful. He simply says, after you die, it's not as if your mind disappears. Okay? The experience of death has no effect on the continuation of your mind. There's no pause at all. Okay? The mind flows on. The mind comes from previous moments of life, even at the first moment in your mother's womb. And it's foolish to think that something's going to change just because your body died. It doesn't do that. Your mind flows on. Changes to enjoy. You have to go somewhere. You will go somewhere. Again, what does it mean to go somewhere after you die? It doesn't mean that, they put you in one of their space shuttles and you go to some other place. It doesn't mean that. Your own mind will create a new place. And you will live in that new place. In the same way that you're living in this room right now. Okay? To go somewhere else after you die the reason it's true is that you don't go anywhere. Your mind, the seeds in your mind shift. And then you see things differently. And that's your new world. Okay? It's just the seeds in your mind. You don't go anywhere. Then good. So you have to go somewhere. Kesa deyon dendro dangendo ni me me. There's only two choices. You have to appreciate that when you reach the end of the highway and you're standing up there, there's only two ways that can go. Either you go up or you go down. Either you'll experience something better or you'll experience something bad. As good or better or worse. Those are the only two choices. Something's going to come and it's definitely going to be better or worse. Or the same or better or worse. Kyaute narame ki nyawar kena megan luye megan me gopata. I was watching a video of people were in Kuwait, remember? They attacked Kuwait. What's the capital city? Kuwait City? And they were driving around in the Kuwaitis' new cars, like all their mistakes. They were basically thugs who came from Iraq. And they broke in and stole all the gold and cash out of the banks. And then they just beat up everybody and stole their Mercedes-Benzes. So, here's an Iraqi farmer or something in some rich Kuwaiti oil guy's Mercedes-Benz. And I was watching this. Then suddenly the United States decides to do something, right? And I saw footage of, you know, the jet fighters come down and they drop bombs on these Mercedeses. So this guy, he's in a new Mercedes, you know, he's got the air conditioning on. He's never been in a car like that before. And then suddenly, within 30 seconds, he's engulfed in a ball of flame. He's been fiddling with the air conditioner, trying to get it to work. And then suddenly he's engulfed in a ball of flame. You see? And it happens. Because it doesn't happen. Because it's not coming from the outside. It's being projected by your own mind. The mental seeds to feel the cool air coming out of the air conditioner suddenly end. And then new seeds assert themselves, and you are wrapped in a ball of flame, and you are dying. You are wrapped in a ball of flame, and you are dying in a ball of flame. I saw it on TV, which means it's real, right? It happens to people. Okay? Going from one life to another is like that. You just suddenly there's a change in what's happening, because new seeds grow to the top of your mind, and the old seeds are thinning. And don't think it's impossible that you go to some place where you're wrapped in a ball of flame just because you had an air conditioner 5 minutes before. Because it happens. It can happen. Okay? He says, you can go to a place where you are indistinguishable from the flames. The flames are so powerful that no one can say there was a person there before. It looks like you are the flames. Delek Drakshin Yam Sun Tabur Nin Rin La There's also a hell realm where Yangtze, it's called Yangtze. Yangtze means get back up. And you go to this hell realm, they kill you, or you're crushed under mountains, and you're dead. And then the suffering part is that this voice comes out of your mind, right? And it says, get back up. And you have to get back up. And you get back up and you run, and then they kill you again. And then you don't even have the respite of being dead. You know, you can't even rest. They say, get back up. And then you like, get back up, and you run. And then they kill you again. And then just hundreds, he said every day hundreds of times. That's what that place is. That's what happens in that. He says, I mean, nowadays he says, you're cooking something and you burn your finger. And you can't bear the feeling. How are you gonna be wrapped in a ball? You know, how can you bear that when it comes? How will you be able to bear that? Then you're like, oh, this is all hell realm stuff. This is not for me. The guy in the Mercedes, he didn't have a choice. You see, it comes to you without a choice. You don't have a choice. It comes. And it's real. And it exists. And I didn't teach this before because people, they would just wouldn't come back. They'd go home and say, he's got some Luther thing going on. You know, he's trying to scare me. I don't know why. He probably wants a donation later. You know, but it is there. It exists. It exists. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you. Once I know you and you're my friend, I would be irresponsible not to tell you. What you're doing is your own business, but you must go somewhere after you die, and the perceptions change radically. And terrible things could happen. It's possible. Because this room is possible. And this room is no weirder than a hell room. You know? This room is also coming from your mind. And there's no reason why worse things can't come from your mind, or better things. Alright. Deta tu dunya yawa yam tatendu di tendu yawa tar yinki dende meme nyonu le namo shik eye nyamna dende me. It's not that you have a different capacity of experience after you die, you have the same capacity of experience. Whatever pain you feel on the tip of your finger from the stove, it will be equal to that times the number of inches on your body. And don't think for some reason it would be less. It won't be. So I mentioned before, I don't want to say rebirth, okay? I don't like the word rebirth. Rebirth kind of implies that you go somewhere and you're in somebody else's stomach and then you get pushed out and you're a dog. It's not like that. In the same way that you see me say two words of this teaching, in the same way that you perceive me going from one word to the next one, you will, in the moment of your death, go from one world to another in the time it takes me to say two words. You know, I say. That's how much time it takes for the perceptions to change. And you are in a completely different realm, completely different world, something you never heard of. And you're there and you can't come back. Okay? That's the way it is. And if you have been the kind of person who is, like most Americans, I think, you are a glutton. You are a glutton, right? You eat too much. You eat food you don't need at the expense of other people in the world. And you kill yourself by that eating. And you go to an airport. I spend a lot of time in the airport. It's sad. I go to China. I come back. I look at my countrymen who I care about. I love America, you know. And I land and I come out of the airplane and it looks so sad to me. It's like hundreds and hundreds of people who are killing themselves with their mouth. You know, killing themselves with their mouth. And then the karma of that is when you die, you're born as this special kind of spirit who can never get anything. They can never get enough. And they just wander the world. They are not visible. They are around us now. They wander the world. They have a karma that they cannot eat what we eat. They only see the leftovers. Like crumbs that you never vacuumed before, okay? I had this lama, he would eat, and he would always scatter food on the floor. I was the cook and the cleaner. You know? And I was really irritated whenever he came over. He'd have lunch and then he'd like, mashallah, he'd kill food. You know? And then I had to clean it up. You can do a kind of a blessing on the food, and then you break it into crumbs and you throw it, and that's all they can see. They can't see the food, they can see the crumbs. And that comes from gluttony in this life. They don't even use the word gluttony in modern English, right? There's no such word. You don't say, go up to your friends and say, you're a glutton. You know? But they are. And they are killing themselves. And then karmically, there's this kind of birth that you take as a spirit. And then all you can get is tiny crumbs or tiny droplets of water that people spit or urine or things like that. That's all you can see. And that's all you can eat or drink. Okay? And it comes from leading a life of gluttony. And, you know, okay. So Prabhupada Guruji says, how are you going to be able to handle that when every time I take you on a one-day fast, you are all like dying? Okay? Those of you, I give you a one-day fast and you're like passing out. And those beings live many years and they never get enough to eat. They're always hungry. And they're always roaming buildings and rooms looking for any crumbs or spit or things like that. That's all they can see. Alright, so suppose you have the karma to see yourself be a dog. How they the places in which people in America, they have this romantic idea of animals' life, right? They're like, oh, the animals are all happy and living in harmony. And why do birds fly away when you approach? You know, why do deer, we have deer? They see you, they run. Why? You're going to kill them. And birds, the reason they're so frenetic and ADD is that they have to check on their shoulder every few seconds or something will kill them. The animal kingdom is a world of threat and danger. And if you don't look over your shoulder, you're somebody's dinner. And that's the way it goes, you know? So think about that, he says, how they live in constant fear, how they seek food, right? I went walking through the desert a couple days ago, and there's this place where water comes up out of a spring, and it's filthy. It's like dirty, because all the animals come there to drink, because it's the only water they can get, right? And it's like scummy, dirty water. And that's all they don't, you think they like it? You know, you think they like drinking like scummy, dirty, urinated water? They don't have a choice. It's all they can get. They can't turn on a tap and drink water. They drink what they can get or they die. And when they drink it, they get sick from it because it's dirty. Okay? And they don't have a choice. They live like that. So how are you going to deal with that? If you go there, how are you going to deal with that? We tend to, some lama gets up, talks about the suffering of the hell realms or the animal realms, or these spirit realms, and we think that must be pretty far away. You know, we think, that must be somewhere. Okay? He says, Nyan song dan ran ni ki parna, chapa, u kya yu din samin. This is, I really remember this line that Rinpoche used to teach me. He said, the only thing separating you from those realms is a single breath. Okay. It's the next breath you take, if you take it, is the only thing standing between you and those realms. The next breath you can get in, and the next breath you can get out, is the extent of time that separates you from those realms. Okay. And one day it will close, the time will close. Mata ma chente tsena rang ring en sang du rang rang ro to le domba jali sung katam jaya che dik sara mi se ta gyan tab top chem ni chi ya ma che nya ma yong mo kyang mata ma chente tse if we don't really examine our life, right? Mata ma chente tsena Rang Rai Nansam to Rang Do Gun Ne. We all tend to think, I'm not one of the people who will have to go to one of those places. I understand that there are evil people. And I understand that they might have to go to places like that. Because the seeds within their own minds will project such places. But, Dhamma Dhammi Sum. I keep my vows okay. Katam Dayan Che. I study not so bad. Dick Sewa, me say Takyo. I never like pull a person out of their car and slit their throat. Okay? Don't change that chi on my chin. I didn't do anything like that. Okay? He says, you know, we all think that. You do think that. Never mata beginning. But you haven't examined. You're not checking what karma can do. If you think you have to pull a guy out of their car and slit their throat to go to one of those places, you're mistaken. Samlo shifta tanga, nyendo dro, mindo, rangma rangwang me. Leila rakleshin. Nobody ever had to go to a bad place after they died because they wanted to. Okay? Duh. Okay? Like nobody. It's not a question of what you wanted or where you wanted to go. Okay? It's not that. You can't decide. Rangwa Men means you don't have any choice. Nobody like signed up for those routes. They didn't have a choice. Rangwa Men. Leila Rakne. Lena Ragna means it depends on the seeds in your mind. Okay? It's just the seeds in your mind, because those will spit out of reality. Lena Ragna. Shing. Rangre Gila Glinike Le Dem Mar Yakyan. We all have good karmas and bad karmas mixed up in our inside us. Okay? Everybody has good seeds and bad seeds mixed up inside them. Kanto Cheo Shima Chika, Seilenki Sundepa Yinna. Whichever ones are predominant at the moment of your death will then project in your reality. They will project in your world. Sundep. By the way, he uses an expression called Seilen Ki Sundep. Say Seilen
Ki
Sundep. Seilen
Ki
Sundep. It's a very, very important idea. Karmas, seeds in your mind, which are going to spit out a bad reality, a new reality which is bad, have to be activated in the moment of your death. Or else they won't go off. They can't do it. They will never go off. You must be ignorant as you die for the seeds to ripen. The seeds cannot ripen unless you are actively misunderstanding your world at the moment of your death. So that's a cool thing, right? If you can learn where life is coming from, if you can stay aware that what happens to you is exact retribution for everything you do to everybody else, okay? Nothing ever comes to you that you haven't done to someone else first, because that's where everything comes from, okay? If you can die with that understanding, the negative seeds will not be activated, cannot be. Okay? That's why I add Jorlam Sopa at a point in your intellectual understanding of emptiness, you cannot go to a lower realm. It's not possible. An understanding of where stuff is coming from prevents you. You cannot. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't go. Okay, that's very beautiful. That's very powerful. Learn about emptiness. Learn that the thing, everything that, every irritating person you ever met was coming exactly from what you did last week. Okay? Just learn that. And be sensitive about it. And at the time of death, when the seeds are activated, the bad ones cannot be activated. You cannot go to a lower place. You cannot go to the places I described. After a certain point in your understanding. It's cool, right? Raw understanding stops the seeds from what do you call it?
Germination.
Germination of the seeds is stopped by your understanding. And it cannot be, what do you call it? It cannot be reversed. Okay? Once you reach a certain point of understanding, you cannot have bad seeds right in your mind. It won't happen. So you have to try, okay? You have to try to understand emptiness deeply. Okay? So then, he said they have to be activated as you die by misunderstanding what's going on. Dini Rangula Kantong Chewatak. If we make an honest examination of the seeds in our minds, we will have to admit that the negative ones are more. Okay? And it's not that you're an evil person. It's that you went to Paradise Cafe today and someone got in front of you in line and you felt slightly irritated and then you got the quiche and it was dried out and you felt irritated again. And then you sat down and your two friends were bickering with each other and you felt irritated again to have to spend an hour next to them. And then you just were irritated all lunch. You weren't angry, you didn't say anything, you didn't shoot anybody. But what I like to call low-level radiation, you know, like you had a low-level of negative thoughts. The whole experience of you were in paradise, but you had all these low-level irritation going on. And that's gonna create your next world. That's all there is. That's the raw material for which your next world is created. is your low level of irritation throughout the day. So what do you expect? What's going to come? Will it be just an irritating cafe? No, because seeds grow. Have a day of low-level irritation at Paradise Cafe. 6 months later, those seeds can create Iraq or something. You see? Unfortunately, bad seeds grow wildly, as do good seeds. We go over this again and again and again when we give DCI lectures around the world. If you've been to any of them, the people who go all the time, they're like a plane to me constantly. Guess what? I said the same thing everywhere you go. I said, well, they don't know anything. I have to say the same thing everywhere you go. So he says it here. Don't change to me. Whether the seeds are powerful or not depends on kuno, which is what?
Motivation.
Your motivation. The power of an action depends on these four factors, right? She's some adorable puppet. You know that. The power of a karma depends on what did you intend to happen? You know? Like, did you want the person that you don't like? Are you constantly praying that the person you don't like has a bad day? Okay? Deep down somewhere, are you making this fervent prayer throughout the day? And then you hear that they have some trouble and you're like, do you feel this righteous satisfaction? You know, like they're a bad person and they got their what they should have. Like that. Okay? That's kuno. Jorwa means that then you actually do something bad. You hurt somebody, you say something to someone. And juk means tartum. Juk means after you finish insulting somebody, then you come home and you think about what a good job you did. You know, like you know, I finally told them off. You know, they've been asking for it for weeks. And I'm so glad I set them straight. Okay, that's called juk. These factors, shuk jok shen, they create the relative strength of a karma. Even those negative actions which we have committed, which are very small, will grow in their power. Depending on what was our motivation when we did them, how did we carry out the action, and how did we enjoy it afterwards. Right? He gives an example of a well done bad deed. Okay, here we go. Geju Tabo, you have a student. Tamshe Si Chi Tonan. And you want to hurt their feelings, and you aim a single word at them. Shiram Tapakune Long. That he's mentioning three factors that make the karma more powerful. One is intense anger. You're very angry at them, and you say a word or a few words, and you want to hurt them. The motivation is the impelling power is anger. It's extreme anger. Jorwa, the way in which you do the, say the words, you are trying to think of a word which will hurt their feelings the most. You aim the missile of your words at their heart. And then afterwards you're like, I really showed them, you know, like, I really show them who's who. Okay? Like the Kimbo and the Jorg. So you have motivation, you have action, and then you have how you felt about it afterwards. All complete. That, he says, Pudako. Say Pudako.
Pudako.
Pudako is a colloquialism. It means perfect beggar. It's like, Buddhapur means perfect. Okay? Buddhapur Shinya. Shenyan Shi Sevatapur. Now he's going to get on to killing bedbugs. Okay? If you've never had bedbugs, you have no idea what it's like. Okay? I went to India, and all night long they're crawling on you. And it's stinky. They scratch. And then you wake up in the morning, and they're on the wall. And they're bloated with your blood. They're like as big as your thumb. And they're like, they can't move. They're just sitting there all, they're glued to the wall, and they're trying to digest your blood. And they're hanging all over the room. And then you can't get them out for anything. It's impossible. You have to burn the bed. You can't get them out. We debated for weeks how to get rid of them. We left the bed outside in the rain. We washed it with Clorox. We did everything. You can't get them out. You just have to throw the bed out. You have to burn it anyway. Unless you want to kill them. But anyway. So there's this, then in the middle of the night you feel them crawling on you and you want to scratch them and you know it's going to hurt them. But in the half, you know how when you're half awake, you don't care. And like somehow your moral principles collapse. And you're like, I'm going to scratch, and if it kills him, you know, he was hanging out there. You do. And you know, then you wake up and you're sorry, but you're not sorry, because, okay? Kunnam shena shindrapo. As you're killing a bed bug, if you've ever had them, you know, you feel satisfaction. You feel angry at them. You haven't slept for like 3 nights. You go a little crazy. And then you crush them. Jorwa, Zuma nyeba so dule yuring tani. And then sometimes you're like, you don't just squash them, you're like, hey. You know, like you take your time. And you kill them slowly. Somehow you get some kind of satisfaction out of them, okay? Like revenge, okay? Tar, Sukhat, Sokche, and then you kill them. Yang, Juktu Yang, Da Pemo Chum Nyamba, and then afterwards you think, I've contributed to my health. I did a good thing. I'm keeping myself healthy. I was taught to kill. I was telling someone recently, we were swimming in the ocean, and I said, I get a little nervous when I swim in the ocean. And they say, why? And they say, because my father taught me to kill sharks. You know, we used to fish on the open sea, and sometimes you catch a shark, and then you take a shotgun and you shoot it. And then it's considered a service to other people. The same with scorpions or rattlesnakes. I was brought up that, you know, you were doing a service if you kill dangerous animals, you know, and then you get this feeling, oh, I did a good thing, you know. So, Jukta Yama, Pemo Chung Yama, so, Long Sen Chenwa Chepe, Migewa Shin Totan Dama, so. So the killing of a single bed bug, if it's done with those three factors, intense anger, you know, particularly excruciating killing, and then afterwards you're like, you know, I've contributed to the good health of the world. You know, like some kind of deluded thought. Then that karma can become powerful enough to project an entire lifetime. But the single act of killing a single bed bug, which in Tibet was all day. I mean, everybody had bed bugs. You think Tibet was this romantic, you know, Shangri-La. Everybody had bed bugs all the time. Okay. There was some. Gewa ni tok chen shi che yue nyamba nam kyang shin du tu chung ke. On the other hand, all the wonderful things you think you've done for people and the great kindnesses you've done to others were just wimpy little things. You know, like, oh, I shared my tea today with so-and-so after it got cold and after I had sipped off the best part. You know, I mean, like, even the little good deeds you do are, they suck. You know, they're like, they're not very they're not done with such great preparation, action, and conclusion. You know, you're like, here, have some of my tea. And then you think you're such a kind person. Jitamasa. Gyama Topcham to draw a lot. If you really want to do a good deed well, you have to plan it out carefully. You have to execute it well. You have to have a good motivation behind it. And you have to dedicate it, the goodness to others afterwards. Somnam, Namdakshi, Gugila. Those are the steps it would take to do a really good karma. But Rang Ren Chenpe Gyewa Lani Damokulu Rabchung Chang Rabchang Chungi Sam Dring Yen Chungi No Dachi. The kind of motivation that we should undertake a good deed with, the best would be what? What's the highest state of mind that you could do a good deed with? Bodhicitta, okay? What is bodhicitta? The wish to save the world. The wish to be, to put yourself, the wish to be, gain the ability to save the world. That's bodhicitta, okay? At best, you should do your good deeds with that. I'm just sharing a cup of tea, but I wanted to, I hope that it will help contribute to me gaining the capacity to save the world. Ding Yen Jung Lo To. Or at least you should think, I'm sharing this cup of tea because I don't want pain in the future. At least that. Touch it. Tam, Tama Gewa Chima Dunyaki Sama Samyam Kumba Nande. But he says, nowadays, as I look around me, I'm not sure that I can find a single person who is doing a good deed, even with the thought that it should be of some help to people after they die. You see what I mean? Like, nobody's, even the good deeds that people do are not motivated towards what's important, which is what's going to happen after you die, okay? We just feel like, oh, this person might like me or something like that. The minimum spiritual aspiration in the long run is to not screw up after you die. That's the minimum. That's the worst. That's the lowest. And some, I shouldn't die, I shouldn't have a bad death and go to, and create a new realm after that, which is bad. How many people, when they do their little, what do you call it? Windy good deeds, have that in mind. Because if they don't, then it doesn't even count as spiritual practice in this condition. Okay? Alright. Dambo ne pelchen ki sendi nama sangden juba soki chedun manma. Almost all of us are hoping when we do a good deed for someone that something good will come to us in this life, in the near future. Okay? Deda kang Drupchir Nambe Duni Dike Konin. But then it gets corrupted and we, in the pursuit of something good happening to us in this life, we begin to not do such good things. We start to do worse things. Mushiyang Sangebe Trosewa Mete. Mushiyang Sangebe Trosewa Mete. Mani Chengo Chik Dunbe Ring Tsang Ma Yang Sem Nyao Du Mine. And then when we undertake a good action, we have trouble keeping a good heart, maintaining a good heart throughout the length of the good deed. We have trouble. We rarely do good deeds, and when we do a good deed, we have trouble maintaining a good heart during the whole length of the good deed. For example, he says, if you take a rosary and you try to say, Om Mani Padme Hum, 100 times, right? You can't stop, you can't keep your mind on it for the length it takes to say one round of Om Mani Padme Hum, which is what? I timed it once, I think it was 45 seconds or something. Okay? Like, you and me, the maintenance of a good thought as we do a good deed. We're not capable of maintaining a kind thought for more than 45 seconds. That's what he's trying to say. You may do something for somebody. You may cook somebody a dinner, right? It takes you an hour or 2 hours. During the cooking of the dinner, you cannot concentrate on a good motivation for more than 45 seconds at a time. Then you might come back to it after 10 minutes or something. But none of us can maintain a really virtuous state of mind for the time it takes to make someone a cup of coffee. Right? You can't do it. But the opposite, you can maintain a strong feelings of anger at somebody for hours, concentrated. You know, like, really concentrated. You don't think of anything else. You just think about how I'm going to get back at this person. You write a letter, or an email, or you plan what you're going to do to them. And the concentration is very good. And the anger is consistent and strong and flows for an hour uninterrupted. The opposite we have. Most of our good deeds are interrupted by either sleepiness or distraction. Shadai. Ganen la ya ma tsanchi dunme ring la yang yapo cheka. There's a prayer that they teach you in the monastery. It's called the Thousand Angels of the Heavenly Bliss, right? Ganen la yama. Ganen la ye kongi tsahone ganin. Kids learn it. It drives you crazy. Like 300 kids going, ganin. Okay, could you memorize something else for a while? You know? So every kid in the monastery, by the time they're 8, they know how to recite Ganden Lagyama. Get a Western experience, it takes 3 years. So you, in the time it takes to recite this little prayer, it's difficult for a human being to maintain a virtuous attitude for the whole prayer. The prayer takes, what, a minute? Then your mind is off on, oh, I don't like this person. Okay. We don't have the capacity to maintain a virtuous thought for more than a minute. Okay. Can't do it. Jutuyan, moment, sendibar shorwe. And then after we do a good deed and we're just mostly thinking, I hope something nice comes to me. Like maybe next week I can get a new job or, you know, like that. Small things. They not given a chamoshi che yun yun but so yun. Top chumu le me. Therefore, the good deeds that you credit yourself with are pretty wimpy. They don't have much power. They don't have the elements which would give them power. You think your mind is full of good seeds, and you think your mind doesn't have many bad seeds. But the good seeds were collected in a very windy way, and they're not strong. They won't assert themselves when the time comes. They are weak. They're not strong. And the other ones are very strong. You know, hatred for your ex-spouse or something. This is like iron. Those things are strong. Those attitudes are developed over years of time and strengthened every few minutes by thinking about how badly they hurt you. You know, I mean, our bad thoughts we reinforce strongly. Our good thoughts are very, what do you call it, weak and fragile. I'll do another few minutes and then we'll stop for a break. Gashik ni jorsam jorwe madagla, gashik ni kunon dan juki madagpa, gashik sama madagpa shala yume. Some of our good deeds are ruined by not following through properly. Some of our good deeds are ruined by defects in our motivation. Some of our good deeds are ruined by regretting them afterwards, and some of our good deeds are ruined in every way. Let me give you an example. So in the case of people like us, when we approach the question of which seeds will assert themselves in the moment of our death, it's not a debate. And it's not really a question, because there aren't any powerful good seeds to be ripened at the moment of death. Okay? It's not like, am I going to win the lottery or not? You have to lose the lottery because there's no good numbers in there. If your number's not in the thing, whatever you take is going to be a bad number. Because all your good deeds have been half-hearted. Okay. Poorly executed. Poorly planned, poorly executed, and poorly thought about afterwards. Or all the above. Okay. So it's, he's like really getting sort of down on us. He's like, it's not a question of whether your good seeds or bad seeds are going to pop up when you die. You don't have any good seeds. And if one of the negative seeds is triggered by what? At death, by what? Yeah, by not understanding them. Okay. If one of those bad seeds is triggered, simply because you don't understand where the world is coming from. So you're safe if you do understand. Try to understand that. Okay. In that big highway in the sky that stops, you know, whether you go to a good place or a bad place is going to be determined by your level of understanding of where things are coming from. You don't even have to be a good person. You just have to understand. And the bad things we cannot go up. Okay? Just understand where things are coming from. It's already a given that all of our bad things are negative. Almost all of them. But if you understand where things are coming from, they cannot be activated when you die. They cannot project a bad world. Okay? That's kind of a cool way out. And that's the essence of Buddhist refuge. Okay? When they talk about refuge or shelter in Buddhism, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya, Buddha Sharanam Gacchami, Dharma Sharanam Gacchami. You know, you say, you go to some monk, you say, what is refuge? And they say, okay, I'll teach you. Buddha Sharanam Gacchami. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. Oh, and I get a name, right? I get a new name. They give you a new name. That's not refuge, okay? Refuge would be protection, right? What would protection be? You come to the end of your life. The seeds are rattling around in the wheel. The Vanna White's things is now in motion. One of the balls is going to fall out, you know? That's going to be your next life. If you can just remember where things are coming from, you cannot get a bad ball. They won't come up. Got it? So it's worth it. Study emptiness. Study how karma is creating your world. And if you get to a certain point in your understanding, it's not possible to have a bad number come up. They can't come up. They cannot lead the wheel. Okay, one more little thing, then we'll take a break. You can stop there. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll take a break. So we'll take a break, like a 5-10 minute break. There's refreshment. Is it Lenzel?
Lenzel.
Very Lenzel. And there are real refreshments. If you want to talk to me, come here. Don't talk too long because then other people can't talk to me, okay? And don't get upset if you don't talk to me because we still have a week left. Okay. Anything else? Oh, and then after the break, we'll do some questions and answers if you like. Is it too hot?
Yes.
It is too hot. I told you. So try to turn the air conditioner on. Okay, have a nice break.